say welcome to each and every one tonight, even though we have some damp weather on the outside. Let's don't let that dampen our spirits on the inside. We've come tonight to, I want to say celebrate, but that's almost, you know, well, that's a proper word when we're thinking about someone who was crucified on a cross and died there. But I still think maybe celebrate is one thing. I mean, we can celebrate the goodness of God that is showed to us because of what Christ has done for us. But it's a night that we can remember. It's a night that our thoughts goes back to that day at Calvary, that cruel way that our Lord was treated that day, and what it means to us, what he did for us. And so it's very proper for us to be able to come on this day and to let our minds go back to Calvary and see the love of God come forth from that as it has. It's certainly worth our time and our worship. I know that it's a busy weekend and many people have plans to be away and gone away. And I know the weather pouring down rain and so forth, is that puts a damper on a lot of people. But you folks, we're glad you're out. We're glad to see you. It's encouraging. And we hope that you'll be encouraged by being here and being a part of the service and in the songs and in the message, hopefully that you'll be encouraged from it. So welcome to each one of you. We know that in Christ we're brothers and sisters, and we're all headed for the heavenly home, and all because of Calvary. And so let us praise him for that. As we begin then, let us go to God in prayer. Our dear God and our heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we have this time and we have this people that gather together like this in remembrance of how you have loved us, how that Jesus was so willing to go to the cross in our stead. All we could have done, he could have done so many different things, Heavenly Father, and he could have left us out and left us in the cold, so to speak, but he didn't. He demonstrated your will and his love to mankind in such a wonderful, wonderful way, to go to Calvary and pay a penalty that we could not pay, that we could have life and have it more abundantly, that we could have the joy of this life and the hope of eternal life, all because of Calvary. So help us, Almighty God, to be very grateful and thankful for what you've done to us. Use this night, Heavenly Father, as we sing these songs, and that, Heavenly Father, we honor you with them, and we praise Jesus, in whose wonderful name we pray. Amen.
At this time, the choir is ready to play.
Simply,
song be number 160, sing the first and last verse.
Thank you, Mike and Sierra. Thank you very much for your special music. We always appreciate that so much. You folks are so willing to share with us. We thank you for that. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Luke chapter 23. That's where we'll get into the message tonight. As we As our mind goes back to Calvary, we think about the things that has taken place. We visualize in our minds what's taking place there. And Judas has betrayed Jesus with the kiss, and they've arrested Jesus, and they've had him in the mock trial. And now they are taking him out to Calvary. And we pick up there in chapter 23 and verse 26. And we see then that they had went through this terrible night. And now they lead Jesus away. And it reads like this. And as they led him away, they laid upon one Simon of Cyrene, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, of women, which also bewailed and lamented. Then I want to jump down to verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. And they parted his garments, cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also, and they that deride him, saying, He saved others. He saved others, let him save himself. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, saying, coming. Oh, and the soldiers also mocking him, coming to him and offered him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin of Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Words. Words. Words are important. Words are comforting. Words are hurting sometimes. We use words all the time. We use words when we communicate with our family and our friends. Businessmen and women use words when they are out doing their business and they transact business deals. Politicians use words when they want to try to convince us that they're best one for the job. Words are a huge part of every aspect of life. A man said to his wife one day, he said, Men speak 15,000 words a day, and women speak 3,000 words a day. And the wife said, You know the reason for that, don't you? Because we have to say everything twice to you men. And he said, What did you say? Words. We use words. You know how often we use words quite loosely. And often we don't listen very well, very closely. And often, I mean, how many times has somebody said something to you, and then a couple hours later you can't recall what was said? I have caught myself several times in our Bible study, and in our night Bible study, we'll catch on some little thing that's in there, and I catch myself saying, yeah, I preached on that last month or last year or some time ago, but I never try to ask any of my pupils, any of the people in the Bible study, if they remember what I preached on last month or last week, because it would be right embarrassing to me, let alone to them. But you know, there's one time most people will really listen. Will really listen. They'll pay attention to what one is saying. And that's when a loved one is dying. You'll be with a loved one and you'll want to listen closely to what they're saying, because that might be the most important words they'll ever speak. And again, you want to listen closely, because they might be the most important words that will ever affect your life. This man had three sons. He was very ill. He was on his sick bed. And the three sons gathered around, and the man could hardly speak. And he was trying to talk, and barely could be heard. Two of the brothers said to the other brother, said, "Get your ear close down and see what Dad's trying to say." And so the young man listened to what Dad was saying. And Dad said a few words and he passed on. He raised up the other two brothers and says, "Well, did you hear? What did Dad say?" He said, "I get the family farm. I get the family. It's very important to listen closely to what somebody's saying, especially when somebody's dying. We never know how those words might affect us. You need to listen to what is being said to us, especially those last words of a loved one. On a cross, Jesus was dying. Jesus was dying, and he spoke his dying in these dying moments. And the words Jesus spoke could very well be some of the most important words that we will ever hear. The words that he spoke, I think that Matthew records 13 words. In fact, I believe Matthew and Mark records 13 words that Jesus said from the cross, and they were the same words. John spoke and records for us, John records that Jesus spoke 12 words on the cross. And what we just read, Luke spoke 31 words from the, says that Jesus spoke 31 words from the cross. And I believe that Luke records for us the most important words for us to remember. In verse 34, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let me ask you, who do you believe that Jesus was talking about when he offered that prayer to his Father? Who would you say that Jesus had on his mind when he offered that little prayer to his Father? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Was Jesus speaking to the soldiers, speaking of the soldiers? I don't know. Very well could have been. They really didn't know who Jesus was, and they really didn't care. They were just doing a job. They were Roman employees, and they were there to do their job. It was an everyday thing pretty well for them. Someone would be to be crucified. That was their job. All they cared about is getting their job done. And there's no doubt in my mind they didn't know that they were crucifying the very Son of God. They didn't know. They were just doing what they were sent to do. And it's Friday. And how many of you that still work out, and you people that did work out in the sector, how many of you on Friday are glad to see it come and glad to see it pass away? Because Friday, we're going to have a couple days off. That's probably what the soldiers were thinking. Let's get the job done. We're here to crucify. Here's three men. Let's get it done. Maybe we can get home early and get started on our trip for the weekend. Maybe we can get our fishing gear and get our boat ready for tomorrow. That's all they were caring about, getting their job done. They didn't know who they was crucifying. They didn't know who Jesus really was. They were just following orders, charged to do their job. Was he speaking to Herod? Herod, you remember, is the one who sent out the decree to kill all the virgin-born children of under 2 years age, you remember. Was he speaking to Herod? I don't know. Was he speaking to the religious leaders? They were the ones who couched up the charges against Jesus, trumped up the charges, the false charges that got him convicted there in that kangaroo court. Was he speaking to the religious leaders? They should have known Jesus. And you would have thought they would have known. The religious leaders, you would have thought they would have known, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Jesus who Jesus was. Why do I know that? Because what did they call him? They called him an imposter. They called him a deceiver. They didn't know who Jesus was. They just know that he was against what they were for. What they were for. They were against them doing and gaining from what they were practicing. Was he speaking of Pilate? Pilate, you remember. And Jesus was brought before him. And Pilate said about Jesus, I find no fault in this just man. But what did Pilate do? Pilate traded him off for a criminal just to keep his lucrative job. That's all that took place there with Pilate. Read it, it's very plain, isn't it, Lynn? That's all Pilate cared about was his job. So he treated Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know who Jesus was. Was he speaking of Judas? Judas walked with Jesus, was chosen for Jesus to go to walk with him. Judas should have known Jesus was the very Son of God. But I have to believe that Jesus really didn't, that Judas really didn't know who Jesus was. I don't believe Jesus that Judas really knew who Jesus was when he went out there on the Mount of Olives and planted that kiss on the cheek of Jesus. I really don't believe. Those who were against Jesus, even the soldiers alike, and the religious leaders, and Pilate, yeah, they should have known, but they didn't know. They really didn't know that they were crucifying, that they were putting to death the very one who came to give them life. Think about it. Read it over. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know who he was. And they didn't really care who Jesus was, as far as I can see. Was Jesus speaking of the crowd that was down around the foot of the cross? It says here that they were a great group of people that followed him. Great company of people and women also bewailed and lamented him. So we can visualize as they set that cross in a hole and hung Jesus there, that the crowd was down all around. What was he speaking about the crowd gathered at the foot of the cross? They were crying out. He saved others. If he be the Son of God, if he be the one he claims to be, let him save himself. Come down off the cross. If you be the chosen Christ of God. But let us look a little farther at these words, especially the ones in 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. A short prayer that Jesus uttered from the cross. Jesus could have called out to God and said, Father, just rain down on these people destruction, and he could have wiped them out. Jesus could have came off that cross, but he didn't. He says, Father, forgive them. They know what to do. Father, what's that mean to you? When you hear the word Father, how does that affect you? To me, it's a close relationship. Father reveals the closeness of Jesus with the Father. If you go through the scriptures and you find the prayers that Jesus offered, When Jesus spoke to God, he never spoke to him in any other way except Father. Father. Our Father which art in heaven. All through the scripture, only address God as Father. There was that closeness, that intimate. In our prayers, we ought to address God likewise, just as if we were addressing our father from our childhood. Warmly and intimately. We are to pray intimately to God in all circumstances. He's so close. He's so part of us. Especially when we're in pain. Jesus was in pain. He had been beaten, cruelly handled, and nailed to a cross. Now you tell me. Most of you people in here have suffered pain. Some of you have suffered great pain and know what pain is. But no one has suffered the pain that Jesus did. And Jesus cried out to the Father, not for himself, but to forgive those who brought such pain upon him. When we're in pain, we cry out to the Father God, doesn't we? How do you cry out? Dear God, help us. I know I don't probably do it all the time, but I've tried to practice all my life, and I don't say this boastfully, but if you will hear me, and you will probably remember that I always address God, either dear God or Heavenly Father. I want that close connection with God that I have with my earthly father, even closer than that. I want that intimacy with God the Father. And Jesus had that. And we too have that. And when we're in pain, we cry out. We pray for God to help us. When we're in our worst pain, we call out to God to help us handle this situation that I'm in. The second word is what? Father, forgive. Jesus could, again I say, Jesus could have just, what did he tell Peter when Peter went to, they came to arrest Jesus and Peter felt so bold there and he grabbed the sword and he whipped off the servants, off the centurion's ear. What did Jesus tell him? He said, Peter, that's foolish thing. Don't do that. He said, if I wanted someone to do something that could protect me, I could have called to the Father. And he would have sent 10 legs of angels. Jesus could have destroyed. But he didn't do that. He prayed that little prayer. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus had compassion. You think about that. Can you think about what it might have felt like being hanged on that cross, nailed to that cross, and knowing how you'd been mistreated, and the people down there railing on you? What would you do? Would you have cried out to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Do you think it was easy for Jesus to forgive? But that's what he did. That's what he did. It might be real easy for you to forgive your father. It might be real easy for you to forgive your child. It might be real easy to forgive your best friend. But you know it's not real easy to forgive your brother or sister, especially when you're 10 years old. But Jesus, in that moment of pain, not moment, in that time of pain, Jesus didn't think about himself. He thought about others. He thought about you and he thought about me. But he thought about those. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. It wasn't easy. What amazes me is that Jesus loved those who were hurting him. Now that's just not the normal thing, is it? That's just not hardly mankind, is it? For those who hurt you, are you quick to forgive them? No. We want to get even, don't we? But Jesus didn't. Those who hurt Jesus, Jesus looked upon them and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus was practicing what he preached when he said, love your enemies. And Jesus looked around and saw enemies and he loved them and he said, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness is something like, I don't know, to let go. Hatred and grudges hang on. Love and forgiveness is let go. I read this story about how to catch monkeys. And the monkey catcher, he gets a coconut and he drills a hole in it and he puts it down at the foot of the tree. And the little monkey comes up there and he has to squish his fist all together to get in that hole, to get that meat out of that coconut. And when he gets his fist down in there, he opens it up and he grabs as much white meat out of that coconut as he can. And the only way that monkey can get free is to let it go. That's what God did with Christ on Calvary, on that cross. He let your sins and my sins and the sins of mankind, he let them go. Jesus, when he cried out to the Father, he let go of your past. God the Father took your sins. And it says he cast them as far as the east is. Well, he let them go. In another place it says that God took your sins and my sins and the sins of mankind and he cast them into the deepest ocean. Never to bring them up again. He let them go. And if you and I are ever going to be free in this life, we've got to let go. Let go of the mistreatment your father or your mother might have had toward you. Let go of the terrible way your brother or sister did to you. Let go. That's what happened at Calvary. Your sins and my sins and the sins of the world was let go. Until you and I let go of what we have against someone else, we'll never be free. We'll never be free. Let go. Let God have it. Jesus is looking up to God. I picture Jesus there. He's hanging above the ground, above the earth. He's spanned there between earth and heaven. And he's there, nailed to that cross. And he looks up at the Father. He didn't look down at all that was going on and all that was nasty and dirty and evil. He looked up to the Holy Father and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, let go of the sins. I've let go of their past. Now the third portion of that was what? They never knew what they did. I wonder, you know, when it talks about them, they know not what they do. Who was them? Who was they? Who was them that Jesus was really talking about? It could have been any of those that we spoke about. And it could have been all of them, couldn't it? Them. I believe the them was referring to the soldiers who had nailed him to the cross. I believe them refers to all the religious leaders and rulers who falsely accused him. I believe them refers to all that was gathered around the foot of that cross, deriding him. I believe them was the disciples that run away from him. Them, my friend, refers to you and me. We're forever asking God to forgive us of the things that we know that we did wrong and the things that we know that were right that we didn't do. We hear that in prayers here Sunday after Sunday, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. We live in a far too busy life, being too busy for God and the spiritual things of life. We should ask ourselves, are we the quality of Christian men and women, boys and girls that we ought to be? And so we pray, Father, forgive us. And yea, we pray for others, forgive them, but we always pray for Father, forgive us. Them includes us. This rest of this phrase, they don't know how to do. The soldiers at the cross, they really didn't know what they were doing. They really didn't know they were crucifying the very Son of God. The religious leaders did not know or did not comprehend that they were plotting against the very one who was the presence of God. The gawkers down around the foot of the cross there, they did not realize that they were watching the most loving human being of all time to be killed. We don't know, don't really comprehend what we're doing when we leave out God, when we just give God a little part of our time, when we're too busy living for ourselves and living lives, we have little time for God and for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Today on the cross, even the crowds below Jesus, as I try to picture what's taking place, I assume they heard Jesus, because Jesus could speak from a boat that's cast off the shore, and Jesus could speak from a mountainside, and people could hear him. So I'm pretty well convinced, even though that Jesus was beaten down, so weary, he spoke those words which says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But as I look down there, I don't see a one repenting, asking for forgiveness. Do you, as you visualize there, what's taking place? But Jesus called out to God. For those who had hatred toward Jesus, those who had evil thoughts about Jesus, those who said crucify him, those who railed on him as he hung there on the cross. And Jesus looked up to the Father and he saw all of them. And he saw you and he saw me. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know about you. I don't know whether there's sin in your life or not. I'm not around you every day, 24 hours a day. Only you know that. And maybe you have ill feelings towards someone else. I'm here tonight to tell you that Jesus that hung on that cross, when he prayed to the Father to forgive them, they know what they do, not what they do. He was speaking of you and me also. And I say to you tonight, if you have something against somebody and you're not willing to forgive them, you'll never be free. If there are sins in your life, I encourage you to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and turn loose of your sin. Turn them over to Jesus. He'll throw them, cast them away. The choir, I think, is going to sing first. Could we switch that? Let's do the invitation and then the choir sing. Would that be all right with you? Thank you, dear. Because, you know, it's a time when we think about Calvary, about Jesus. And there's no better time if there's anything in your life that needs to be straightened up with the Lord. There's no better time than this time to let it go. If you need to seek God, if you want prayer, come, we pray with you. Whatever's on your heart and mind, maybe there's nothing on your heart and mind, let's just rejoice then. But we're going to stand and sing. If there's any cause for you to come, come to Jesus tonight. Let go of all things. Let go of your sin. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
347.
Just as... Thank you, Kathleen. Choir, very pretty. Thank you so very much. Kathleen and the choir, it doesn't make any difference whether the choir loft is full or she just has a handful. They always do a wonderful job for us. Thank you, choir, and thank you, Kathleen, so very much. And thank you, folks, for being here tonight. Fill me in.
He said you're welcome.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No, he did.
All right. I just want to make sure you're with me. Okay. I hope that something said, something done, something a song has made it worthwhile and has turned your thoughts to how wonderfully God has loved us. That Jesus would go to such extreme to die on Calvary for us. I hope that you being here tonight will help you to be just a little more grateful. I hope that you being here tonight have gained something that you will share with someone that they might have the hope that you have also. We want to encourage you to be here Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. We're going to have sunrise service. Then we're going to have breakfast together, and then we'll have our regular Bible study and then our worship service. We won't be talking about Jesus on the cross. We're going to be talking about that Jesus that died on the cross and laid in the tomb, come forth victorious, and lives forevermore that you and I will live. See somebody tomorrow and share that with them, if you will, that we're going to listen, we're going to hear, we're going to go back to the tomb, and we're going to talk about the resurrected one. Lynn Marge is here tonight, and we're always glad to have them. They're dear friends of ours. They've become, I think, friends of you all. They've become just almost a part of us here. And we appreciate so much that you're coming out this rainy night, Lynn and Marge, to be with us. And I want to ask you to ask God's blessing on us and praise Him for His goodness as we stand together.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thought that as you look down upon this earth, you see millions of people who are making a time in their life to thank Jesus for enduring the cruelty of the cross and how it must cause you to have great love, a greater love, and a delight in us that we're willing to think about Jesus, not just during this time of the year, as the world often pauses to do, but every day we think about how much the death, burial, resurrection means to us. We thank you for allowing us to hear about Jesus as young people. And Father, we thank you in this evening hour that Jesus was willing to even be separated from you to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And for all of our sins and the penalty and the suffering of our sin to be put upon Him. We believe during that time from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the darkness was over the earth that was near there. Father, tonight, help us to rejoice in the great gift of eternal life that we have because of the love that you've had and the love of Jesus to endure this great suffering, to set us free, send forth our sins away from us. So bless our Father, this congregation, and all those who work here for leadership. We pray that our Father, as they continue to watch and wait for Jesus, that all of us will expect Him to come this evening hour. Thank you, Lord, for congregations like this. Someday in heaven, I believe that we'll hear the story of each congregation and how they have served the kingdom of God. So, Father, help us to live in such a way that we expect the Lord Jesus to come. And thank you, Father, for all those who have practiced and worked in the singing this evening. And we thank you for giving us a voice to speak, to hear with our ears, to sing praises with our tongues. And help us, Lord, to love one another as you've loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.